your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. This segment possibly bleeding into the next segment. A bit more for the technical trader, those watching some of these markets, a wide range of markets that we are going to discuss here as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion Share website, which I will link to within that weekend show posting. Now, Dana, just a broad comment about this week. We saw a little bit of weakness in U.S. markets. Most broad averages are down in and around 1%. And throughout this week, we did see these markets generally open up lower. Some days there was some buying that came in intraday, but overall, after quite the run that these markets have had on a daily or even weekly chart, we're finally putting in a negative candlestick. The last time we had a negative candlestick for the NASDAQ was back in mid-April. So it has been quite a run. Easy to say that, well, a pullback is needed here. What's your thought on potentially, at least for the short term, a bit of a change in direction for these markets?
Yeah, and I don't think it's an unhealthy one. As you mentioned, we'd been shooting higher pretty much every day or every week for the last couple months, especially after some of the high tech and large cap areas broke out about a month ago. So we had that a strong bounce or a strong continuation of that breakout for about a month. And I think it's a healthy and much needed kind of pullback or respite from that rally. So whereas we really, especially in the modern day, we really loathe chasing prices either up or down, especially after breakout, breakdown. We'd much rather buy a pullback after it broken out, especially when it approaches the breakout point. So our models right now are bullish. Mentioned to you before the show, they're not exactly screaming higher as far as some of our internal and breadth related models, but they are positive, so they give us enough cover to be a little bit more aggressively long than we had been for much of the year. But in those relative strength sectors like tech and large caps and those types of things, if you didn't chase those prices into the top earlier this month, you're getting probably a better opportunity to at least add some exposure to those areas, which on an intermediate term basis are still signifying the relative strength in the market for now.
Yeah, Dana, utilizing these pullbacks to be able to buy a little on the weakness and buy the dips. It seems like overall in the markets, there's a lot more optimism, a lot more speculation, more funds coming in off the sidelines to buy those dips. And some people have noted that as a cause for concern. If retail starts piling in kind of towards the end of the move, could that signal the end of the move? But on the other side of the fence, we've had a lot of generalists on the show, Dana, that have mentioned improving market breadth, that a lot of the sectors that were beat up or not participating have at least stopped going down and started moving higher, some of them pretty aggressively. And they're looking at this as a brand new leg to a bull market, not just a nice pop within a bear market. We've talked on the show with you for quite some time about it, potentially still having another leg lower in a larger bear market pattern. Has this recent strength changed your view at all that maybe we are in a new bull market here?
It hasn't changed our longer term thinking. You know, we're still of the mind that we're in a longer term bear market in the broad market. You know, if you're discussing, you know, the large cap averages, those narrow averages, and some of the tech stuff that has bounced back sharply and is back approaching those former highs, if you want to call that a new bull market, that's fine, because I would not be surprised to see higher highs. So, but that's, you know, it's a selective bull market based on an individual index or sector. And I don't have any problem buying those or being long those sectors as long as they are, you know, hitting higher highs, higher lows. But from a broad market perspective, we haven't nearly seen enough improvement to change our assessment of that longer term bear market. In fact, looking at, for example, the Value Line Geometric Composite, which tracks the median stock in the market, it's basically unchanged on the year. So the median stock is unchanged for the year. Median stock is unchanged over the last 12 months and barely off the lows that we saw last fall. So we've seen enough improvement in the broader market to shift our intermediate term model bullish. So that's why we are, you know, trading from a long bias right now in that, from that perspective. But everything comes down to duration, you know, and an intermediate term basis, which for us is about 2 to 6 months, we are bullish, yes, but that doesn't necessarily change the longer term outlook for equities, which in our view is still somewhat dire, despite, you know, those intermediate term intermittent rallies along the way.
All right, then, Dana, if you are, I guess, a little bit more bullish on the intermediate term, but there's still that kind of murky outlook longer term, what about some of the safe haven assets? Because it was pretty tough week for gold and silver. Gold was down about 2.5%, silver down 7%. Those stocks followed. Then you balance that out with the U.S. dollar, that was up a little bit. Yields have been relatively range-bound and flat here. How do you look broadly at some of the safe havens in terms of that whole bull-bear market balance?
Yeah, sure. So specifically talking about the precious metals complex, as you know, we're pretty bullish on the longer term for the complex, especially gold specifically, but also silver. The miners as well should go along for the ride, even if they don't break out and put in a new, you know, more durable up leg like we think gold is due for. But the miners should, if gold breaks out and puts in that new up leg, the miners should go along for the ride as well. But right now, I think we're certainly, and we've talked about this recently, we're in a, you know, kind of a counter trend period right now with gold, silver pulling back, the miners especially pulling back. So we have been hedged in that area, specifically in the gold miners over the last month or so, looking for this counter trend pullback like we're getting right now. But getting close to a point where we'd be covering our hedges there and shifting back more aggressively long, I think specifically in the GDX and the gold miners. As far as gold is concerned, I think there is a little bit more downside before we would start adding to our long position. Silver might be there already, but overall, our longer-term bullish thesis is intact. This is just one of those counter-trend moves along the way that we've been fortunate enough to hedge ourselves against, but I think we're getting close to the point where you can remove those hedges and start to look for some sort of a bottoming action in that sector.
Well, Dana, another sector that's kind of outside of the fiat system, similar to gold, is the cryptoverse. And when you look at the cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin and Ethereum, the two big leaders, seems like they've had a pretty nice bounce recently. One could point to some of the fundamental news with some of the big institutional funds applying for ETFs and exchanges. But I know you block a lot of that out. You just look at it from your models, from quantitative and technical purposes. What's your read technically and momentum-wise on the cryptoverse?
Yeah, so, you know, we got fairly bullish on specifically in Bitcoin and Ethereum back in, I guess it was April, kind of had a breakout. That failed pretty quickly, ended up just scratching pretty much on that position. We did break some of those key moving averages, some key technical pivot levels, so to speak. So did dump those positions, but this week has seen a nice rebound in those, in specifically Bitcoin and Ethereum. So we are back to, you know, trading from the long side. So Bitcoin specifically, we'd be of the mind to buy the dip, ideally down around that 29,000 level, anywhere from 29 down to 27,000. So we've got a small position on now, but would be buying those levels on the dip. And Ethereum, same thing. We have no position right now. Might look to add a small position in the low 18s if we come back down and test that level again. But from a technical perspective, back in the area where you can trade from the long side, especially in Bitcoin, would be the one that we would favor right now.
Well, Dana, one other sector that I'd love to get your thoughts on, which has its own seasonality factor, but again, blocking all that out and just looking at the market, is the energy space. What's happening with oil and that gas? Do you have any feedback as far as what's going to break it out of this range it's been stuck in for quite some time now?
So we have been short crude oil and energy stocks. We think, you know, crude's been bouncing along this the lows over the last 4 months or so. Covered some of our shorts as we've tested those lows. If we do break those recent lows, I think our thought is that there's about 20% of downside following a breakdown in crude, but that may very well may lead to, you know, the next major low in crude oil. So we would look for a major bottom there and look to start getting long again. But right now, I think in the short term, there is risk. I will say, you didn't ask me about it, but I will say one sector that has maybe leading crude oil in terms of the technical pattern is the grain market. So grains over the last week or so hit a level that might be that we were looking for a major low. Whether it holds or not remains to be seen, but it did bounce strongly off of that area about a week ago, pulling back here today, maybe the last couple days. So if you're looking for an opportunity right now, I would say grains offer, at least in the longer term, a very good risk-reward potential here around these areas right now.
So, Dana, now that we are officially in summer, and we usually do see lower volumes, do you change your trading strategy at all?
No, you know, like Shad alluded to, you know, we follow the data, you know, and the data typically either doesn't care what season you're in or it takes that into account. So if there are trends that are seasonal, if there are data adjustments that are seasonal, the models should pick that up and adjust accordingly. So we don't, you know, subjectively necessarily change our trading style or our investment philosophy just due to the time of year. Now, I do have great respect for seasonality trading systems, and there is strong evidence for seasonal patterns throughout the course of time, but we don't necessarily, it's very low on our list of priorities in terms of our investment decision making. So, for example, the sell in May, go away, 6 month thing, is there's a lot of evidence for it, but if we're in the sell in May period in the summer, for example, and our models are still strong, then we're obviously going to defer to our models as opposed to, you know, the seasonal patterns. But there is something to it. But, you know, as always, we defer to the more database objective criteria when making our moves.
All right, Dana, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you, as always, for taking time with us on this weekend show and sharing how you're trading these markets. I do appreciate how nimble you are in all these markets, simply trying to block out all this noise that we undoubtedly get through the media, and just looking at the charts, the price action, and some of the other data that your models pull in. So Dana, thanks again for your time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.